Welcome to Gems of Wisdom, a soul sanctuary and community to inspire hearts, minds, and lives through art, charity, and conversations that deepen our connection. Our show features the stories of women in the arts who nurture creative and abundant living for all religions, communities, and forms of spirituality. Welcome to our show. Hi there, I'm your host, Teresa Marone, and today our show is called Exit Like a Rockstar. We are exploring endings, transitions, and how to open some windows instead of allowing those doors to shut forever. We are going to find out how opportunities can pop up in very unusual ways, how we can learn and grow spiritually, even from bad boy rock stars. And our gem of the day is about how to handle the pain and rejection of losing a job. Our guest today is Donnie Wilson. She's a member of our artistic writing community. She's a master teacher, a professor of English at Houston Baptist University, and she frequently teaches at the Cameron School of Business in their MBA program at the University of St. Thomas, also here in Houston. She received her PhD in English from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She's also a contributing writer at the Houston Chronicle. She has a great story about how she got her first professional writing gig and why her favorite type of writing is essays. We're going to find out all about those things. And also, she's going to share with us her spiritual lesson of how honored and surprised that she was by the grace and the sense of mastery she felt from Motley Crue as they performed their last show in their farewell tour. Now stay tuned, because after the interview, I'm going to give you three real-life action steps to do immediately if you know that your job is ending. Now our sponsor today is Bridget's Place. They are providing education, dialogue, and celebrations that support personal and spiritual transformation. Find out more at bridgetsplace.org. Now, help me welcome Donnie Wilson. Donnie, your path has not necessarily been completely traditional, has it?
Well, not to the kind of writing that I'm doing now. I have been an English professor for over two decades. And I really do love teaching. I love my students. They're fantastic people to know, and I learn a lot from them. But I didn't really start writing for a wider audience until a few years ago. And the Houston Chronicle ran an essay I wrote about going to some museums with my son, and my dean at my university sent it to them behind my back. I didn't even know he had sent it. And an editor named Kiri O'Connor, who's a wonderful editor, ran it. And so it was just such an encouraging thing to think that I could do something besides academic writing. And my son is 14 now, but I'm really inspired by him. He's a really interesting kid, and so we go on a lot of adventures together, and I liked writing about that. So you don't really have to go to Tahiti necessarily to write something meaningful. Sometimes just your everyday life has a lot in it, and it's great if you can share that.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I know I really love hearing a new take on something that, you know, has almost even become doing it by rote, but certainly taking your son to a museum, a lot of people can relate to that. I think a lot of kids might resist going to the museum, and then they have a great. But when you do your articles for the Chronicle, do they tell you what kind of thing they want, or do you just think, hey, this would be a great idea for a story? Let me see, let me run that by them.
Well, I have been super lucky in that I work with an editor, Lisa Gray, who does this online department called Gray Matters, and a lot of it is in print too, but it runs every day online. And she ran my first piece last year on Halloween, and it was this piece called I Hate Halloween. and it was just like, you know, there was so much effort going into Halloween, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, what are we celebrating, tooth decay? I mean, I just, you know. So I wrote this little essay, and I've really been writing for her a lot ever since, and I've been able to do some really interesting things. I've done the Downton Abbey recaps, and I've been able to write a lot about literary figures that in print you just can't write a lengthy essay sometimes. And
nobody reads it.
And online you can. And so that's been a wonderful opportunity to write longer things and reach a lot of readers that you might not necessarily get to do in an academic piece of writing.
Well, I see it's kind of busting you out of your box, but you definitely fit the mold, because like I was telling the listeners earlier, you see what I mean, guys? I mean, Donnie's a hoot. You're a hoot. Now, let's just kind of shift gears for a minute. I play around with a little writing myself, nothing as lofty as what you do. I love to write marketing copy, and I love looking at somebody's business or service or even their product and coming up with a fresh way to present it. In fact, I call myself a tagline therapist.
Oh, that's great.
I just love it. I love coming up with, you know, ways to present products and services for people who are in the self-help, personal development. You know, it's got to mean something for me to get excited about it. I'm not going to be getting excited about alternators or, you know, some new software program. But what I've noticed is that there's just so many ideas coming, you know, from all different directions, but, you know, really the sky's the limit. Are you ever tempted to write a screenplay or a treatment for a TV show or a little playlist? I mean, are you kind of going into writing about fictional characters or anything like that?
Yeah, I am. I'm working on a few other projects. I just love writing. And, you know, right now memoirs are very hot. But I don't think it's so important the genre you write in. I think what's important is that you like language enough to channel it into some form. And, you know, I love words. I mean, you just look up the history of a word, and it's a fascinating thing in and of itself. And so some of my students, you know, they want to write a novel, but, you know, you can start with anything. You don't have to do the hardest thing first. And but I do like
step by step.
I've been doing some fiction and, you know, a little bit of poetry here and there, but I have to say I'm really in love with the personal essay, because I think there's an honesty about saying, look, this is my opinion, and, you know, not everyone has to agree with it. But you if you can explain to someone why you think a certain way about something, I think it's a great way to connect with people, even if they don't agree.
Oh, absolutely, especially if they don't agree, because then, you know, you've given them a little window into something different. You know, I myself, I have to tell you, I don't think I could write fiction. I don't think that I could come up with characterizations or dialogue. You know, I'm pretty good at, I mean, I can talk.
Well, I have to tell you, I really understand what you're saying, because I think I have ambitions for writing more fiction, but honestly, the world around me
is more
so fascinating. I don't really have to make it up. I mean, you know, I did this really fun piece on the final tour of Motley Crue, and I loved writing it because I went with my brother, who's a professional musician, to two of their final performances, and I got to think about how, you know, it was kind of the end of an era with this band who stuck together for 34 years. I mean, that's longer than a lot of things on this earth.
That's longer than three different marriages that I can think of.
Well, there you go. I mean, if I made up a story about a bad boy rock band that stayed together for 34 years, no one would believe me. I don't have to do that. I really like taking in the interesting stuff around me and trying to figure it out. I'm a very fortunate person. I have a lot of interesting experiences, and I kind of like documenting them so I don't forget them and that I can, you know, have that in writing for my son. And so I feel very lucky being able to write these essays.
Well, I think it sounds really fascinating. And, you know, like what you were saying is documenting things that have happened to you. And even what you were saying is, you know, you know you're going to do this story on Motley Crue. You found the one thing that maybe everybody, or possibly what I'm saying is, the one thing that struck you is that they have this persona of being bad boys, but they're the ones who have made it 34 years.
Right.
And they're doing their final tour as friends. You know, we're assuming that they're really feeling strongly about each other because they're getting, I mean, so many of the bands break up before that final tour.
That's right.
And yeah, and so you found that one thing that you really want to focus in on. You bring your brother to see a couple of concerts to prepare. You get his expert opinion on the music side of it, and then you write your piece. So take our listeners a little bit through when you really sat down to write it, how you felt and what you really wanted to impart there.
Well, I went, the first of the final tour concerts I went to was at the Woodlands, and my brother had gotten the tickets because he wanted me to see Tommy Lee do this thing where he spins around in a 360 playing the drums upside down, and, you know, it's very dramatic. And they didn't do that at the Woodlands. I don't think they had it set up to do that. However, we were on the last row of the seated part of the Woodlands. And so when Motley Crue walked for their final song, guess what? We turned around on the last row, and there they were walking right there, and I got to touch Tommy Lee's hand, see them do their home sweet home, like, you know, 30 feet away from us. So that was just this huge surprise. I mean, no one knew that would happen. And just to see them so up close was, you know, way more than I bargained for. And so the minute I saw them walk by us and did a high five with Vince Neil, and I brushed Tommy Lee's hand, that whole moment was so exciting. And I'd been feeling all wistful about, you know, how do you end something like this? I mean, it doesn't have to be being part of a rock band. How do you end anything that's lasted that long? And I thought, wow, what you do is you exit like a rock star. And that's exactly what they did. And so sometimes it's just like a phrase. Like, I wanted an essay that had exit like a rock star in it. And so I knew I had to write about this. And
I just got chills when you said that.
And so sometimes I'm a very happy person when I'm out in the world doing things. I mean, I get really excited about art exhibits and rock concerts and going to the Houston Symphony. And, you know, I get really wound up. And so I want to kind of preserve that feeling, and so an essay is a way for me to do that.
Well, I think we landed on the title of our show, Dear Donnie. Remember I said before we started recording that maybe, you know, something would come along that we would go, okay, that's got to be it. So do you feel pressure to when you're writing about somebody like Motley Crue? And I know you've written about a lot of famous people, but we're just going to kind of stick with the theme here for our listeners, that, you know, because we're right here. Do you feel pressure that, you know, maybe they'll read it, or do you just like block all that out and say, I'm just going for it?
I want them to read it. I'm not a very negative writer. I've done some reviews, particularly of poets, and it's not that I, you know, automatically write just, you know, a gushing review. That's really not it. However, I think I've taught poetry long enough to recognize when something's really good. And so I try to give credit to artists for what they do accomplish. And I'm not nervous, but I do want to be conscientious. Like, I do want to make sure that when I'm writing about an artist that I understand what they're doing and that I've articulated that to other people so that they can enjoy that art too. And if I really hate something, I won't write about it, because I don't think of myself as a critic. I'm just a writer who observes things and then I put it into the best words I can, but I'm not. I want people I write about to read what I write. In fact, I did a review of Pat Green's concert in Galveston, and I just love that song, Wave on Wave, and a lot of people do and love him. And then he came to Houston again and performed at Cactus Records, you know, for a very small audience. And I made sure he got the print edition of what I wrote, because I had interviewed him, and he had been very generous with his time with me, and I wanted him to know that I cared enough about that piece for him to have a print copy for his family. And so, you know, it was wonderful to see him again. So I'm very glad that I've been able to meet such interesting people, and they really inspire me. And so a big part of my writing is to convey that.
Well, that's just beautiful, and I really appreciate it. Now, we can find a lot of your articles at Gray Matters. Can you give us some information on how to find those articles?
Yes. If you go to my Facebook page, which is Donnie M. Wilson, I always have free links to Gray Matters. If you Google Gray Matters, I think you can find me pretty easily. But if you look at any of those articles and tweet it, you can get a free link to it. I mean, that just happens. And but it's, if you Google Donnie M. Wilson, I have earlier essays on my university blog at Houston Baptist University at Reflection and Choice, but most of those have been republished, most of them at the Houston Chronicle under Gray Matters. So, but anyone can contact me and I'll send them the essay.
that's wonderful. And we just want to say Gray Matters is the G-R-A-Y. It's not the G-R-E-Y.
Yes, G-R-A-Y Matters. And it's online at the Houston Chronicle. And then they have some things that run in print as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, Donna, you're going to be a part of the Bridges Place Fall Festival, our 21 Days of Giving Your Best, and you're going to write something amazing. So our listeners can be looking for that. Do you want to give us a little hint or a little snapshot of into it, or is it too soon to ask for that?
Well, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I really appreciate you inviting me to do that. And I was thinking when you said, you know, maybe to write about a Christmas letter, that, you know, usually, or at least a lot of the Christmas letters I've received have been you know, about what's going on with the person who's writing the letter, but it might be fun to turn it around and send out a Christmas letter where you're asking questions and saying, I'd like to hear from you and hear what's going on with you.
I haven't heard from you in 25 years. What's going on? Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And maybe subvert the traditional Christmas letter and make it more about the recipient than the writer.
Oh, you know, that's so fun. And I think everybody who's getting involved in the 21 Days of Giving Your Best with Bridges Place is you know, kind of taking an old tradition and making it fresh and something personal. And I'm so excited to see what everyone's going to do. So join us at bridgesplace.org if you want to know more about what's going on with us. And I want to remind you, you're listening to Gems of Wisdom, and I'm Therese Marone, your host. I'm here with Donnie Ann Wilson, who is a writer, of course, but she's also kind of a thinker, a philosopher, and a come-upper of wonderful ideas, like how to present Motley Crue in a whole different way. And I'd love to read that article, actually. Do you think that I could find it somewhere?
Oh, yeah. How about if I send it to you? No problem.
Well, do you think that it would be okay if I were to put that on the Bridges Place Facebook page?
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, let's totally do that. So everybody, look for Motley Crue and Donnie's wonderful article about them. They look amazing. I mean, these guys are such glam rockers, aren't they?
I know. They've made sure that the 80s never really go away.
They never really went away, if you look at Motley Crue. My heavens. Well, Donnie, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners before we end our interview today?
Well, some upcoming things I'll be doing. I'll be writing about the imprint reading series that's held here in Houston. I just did a piece on Jonathan Franzen and the Great American Novel. And I just did a piece before that on Mary Carr and her new book on writing a memoir. And so a lot of my pieces are on other authors because they inspire me a lot.
Well, I really like that you're a writer that's inspired by writers. And I look forward to seeing your first collection of essays coming out. I definitely want to be kept in the loop on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I will certainly do that.
Thank you so much, Donnie, for sharing your wisdom. And now it's time for the gem of the day. So, you know, it is human nature to resist change. We've all experienced the difficulty of a harsh transition. And, you know, even when we know it's for the best, it still requires some adjustments. You know, I get it. So what I wanted to do today, in keeping with our theme, is to share with you some real life action steps for when you know you're losing your job, or, you know, even when you find out that some other ending has happened to you professionally. So the first thing that you want to do is really take some time and reflect on the gifts that brought you to that position that's now coming to its natural end. Why were you drawn there? And was that attraction fulfilled? What did you have to give, and what was your real purpose there? Now, really give yourself some time here to look at this deeper lesson, because it might be more profound than you even have thought, because you're feeling emotional, you know. So then the next step is to choose from these gifts, one from each of the categories, and kind of just feel the way that they have changed your life. So the first category is, what new and valuable skill have you learned that you might not have learned if you weren't there? Secondly, what people have you connected with that honored you and appreciated you? And just feel those feelings of honor and appreciation. And then really kind of dig deep and be very honest with yourself. What difference did your presence make in the organization, to the people you served, and the projects you worked on? Did you do your best? Is there any unfinished energy there? Is there anything that you need to really do before you can have that fresh start? Or are you ready to embrace the future? And when you're ready, these are your three action steps. Number one, update your resume and include all the gifts that you just thought about that you will bring to your next opportunity to serve. This is so huge. Secondly, get a referral from each connection that honored you and appreciated you, and let them know how much they mean to you and that you want to maintain a connection with them in the future. And third, turn that difference that you really feel that you made to the organization, the people that you served, and the projects you worked on into a professional value statement, and use that to help you decide what your next position, your next perfect opportunity is going to be. Really think about what you want to be doing in 1 year and write it down. Now, look at your new resume, go back through your referrals, and read that value statement that you just wrote and ask yourself this question. Is this the blueprint, the roadmap, and the guidance system for you to reach that goal, where you want to be in 1 year? Breathe in some gratitude, some optimism, and excitement for your new journey, because this is your manifestation magnet. And remember, you're really going to want to exit like a rock star.
Join us next week for Gems of Wisdom with me, Teresa Marone, and my expert guest teaching spirituality and the arts. We bring together change makers, innovators, and creators, all heart-centered in service and committed to your personal growth. We're helping you so you can help others.